Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before we begin on the message, just a very short announcement. To those who are attending the adult Bible class and the BBK classes, we seek your apology because immediately after the service, the session has to have a photo taken, and so there will be a slight delay in the commencement of all these Bible study classes. One body, many members. There are many ways to destroy the effectiveness of God's church. After salvation, Satan knows that he cannot take away the salvation of God's people. That's why it is so needful and important that we make sure of our own salvation. Sometimes when our salvation is not anchored in God's holy word, we may not be very certain or sure of our salvation. He can cause us to doubt our salvation. That's all he could do and succeed. The moment he succeeds in making us doubt our own salvation, that means we think we are not actually born again in Christ, even though we actually are. We will be rendered very ineffective in our witness. How to witness the gospel to someone when we are not even certain of our own gospel? How to serve effectively in the church when we begin to doubt our own salvation? And so it is very important for us to make sure of our own salvation so that you and I will not become a casualty as we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan could destroy the effectiveness of our service by introducing wrong doctrines. He could destroy our holy witness by finding leaders who will look after the church that are fearful of exercising church discipline, whereby holiness is not the norm. And therefore, the preaching and the teaching and the writing, they are like the barking of a dog without bite. They are like a toothless lion roaring with the top of his voice. They are like lightning and thunder, but without rain. He could also destroy the effectiveness of the witness by sowing seeds of discord, disunity. And sometimes when we are serving the Lord with our multi-different gifts, spiritual gifts, that can become a problem. The tendency is we begin to compete, and the challenge is we also begin to compare. There is this innate desire in sinful men to want to be in the limelight. That was the problem that the Apostle Paul will address in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And there are certain gifts that will thrust the person into the limelight, and there are certain spiritual gifts where the person will serve behind the scene. And there are those who are given gifts that will put them behind the scene who are unhappy. And they are envious of those who have gifts that may thrust them into the limelight. Just like the parts of a person's body. Some parts are external, some parts are internal, some parts are very carefully hidden. Like our heart, like our lungs. You can't see them, you do not want them to be outside the body. That will be disastrous. But there are some gifts that are external that you can see. Like our hands, like our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth. Very, very public. We don't cover them up. People see them. Just like some gifts that will thrust the individual into the limelight. The danger is these people might become proud and arrogant. The danger is those who are not given these gifts may be envious and jealous. And so they also want to have this gift even though they do not have it, spiritually speaking. Because when they use them, you realize that they make a mess of it. There are some people who should not be preaching and should not be teaching, but they insist on preaching and teaching, and that's where the beginning of problems and sorrows for everyone occurs. For the person who exercises it, and also for the people who listen to it. It hurts. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants to avoid. And so he reminds us that there may be many, many different spiritual gifts, different believers possessing different gifts. But the oneness must be foremost in our heart and in our minds as children of God. And so he says there is one body but many members, using the human body as a very good and appropriate illustration, description of who we are in Christ. Now, if you are not truly born again in Christ, you are not part of this body. There are certain terminologies that the Bible has used to describe the invisible church. That's one of them. Invisible church is a church that is not found on this earth with a local address. Calvary Pandan PP Church is not an invisible church. It's a visible church. And so visibly every Lord's Day you see the people come together. It has a proper address. Local churches are sprinkled all over the world. Some local churches are completely disastrous. In other words, they are false. The Roman Catholic, it is a local church. But because they call themselves Roman Catholic, Catholic means universal, which is also another term for invisible. They rob God of that title, making themselves a local church into an invisible church. That is not scriptural. Invisible church is made up of only truly born-again believers from the time of Adam all the way right up to the last and final believer. An unbeliever will not be part of the invisible church. Another name for the invisible church that God wants to help us understand our relationship with Christ and Him is that sometimes the church is also known as the bride of Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. And Christ is the groom. And this will be seen very starkly and clearly when we come to Revelation chapter 21 in the new heaven and new earth, where the bride, unblemished, holy, righteous, made up only of truly born-again believers, will be presented to Christ like a bride to the groom. And then another term to describe the invisible church or universal church is the body. Because only truly born-again believers have been given spiritual gifts. If you go around telling people, I do not have a spiritual gift, it is as good as telling people you are not born again. Because the Spirit of God made it very plain and clear that every born-again believer has been given at least one spiritual gift. Because otherwise, what is the point of you being left behind after salvation? You are saying that God made a blunder and a mistake in your life. Because God, after He has saved us, remember, you and I can go to heaven straight away. But He left us behind to be a witness for Christ, to be the mouthpiece of Christ when we study the Bible, to be the hands and feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever He sends us, we will go and we will do whatever He wants us to do. And He will not send us out without equipping us. And so if you say, I can't understand the Bible, that's another way of telling people you are not born again. Because the Spirit of God dwells into everyone who is born again in Christ. And so for you not to understand the Bible, either the Holy Spirit is not helping you understand the Bible, which He will never do, or you don't have the Spirit of God in you. So be very careful what you say. If you say that I have no spiritual gifts, that means you are saying that God did not equip you. But the Bible tells us that God did equip every child of God after salvation as He left them behind to serve Him. Why would the general who sent you off into battle not equip you with the proper armament and weapons of war? That will make Him a terrible, terrible, derelict general. This earth is our battleground. And the Bible tells us very appropriately and clearly that the God of this world has blinded the people by His philosophies, by His control of the mass media, by His control of everything that is on this earth that appeals to our five senses, this carnal body of ours. He has lied to men continuously and consistently, making us think that a successful life is a life without Christ, it's a life that is filled with luxurious goods. Materialism is the new god of the 21st century, quoted in different terminologies. It's always been that. It's just that He keeps on changing the garments of the word materialism. Why would God not equip us with the proper armament, with the proper warfare armament, when He sent us forth to fight the battle against the devil? himself and his forces and his minions of fallen angels. That would make him a terrible general, a terrible God, derelict in his duties and responsibilities to thrust us into the heat of battle without proper protection, whereby we are useless to him in the spiritual realm. God will never do that to us. And so what is your spiritual gift? You have to answer that question yourself, because it is your spiritual gift that God has given to you the moment you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Otherwise, you are not part of this one body, because this one body is equivalent to the universal church, the invisible church, the bride of Christ. And this one body is the emphasis, for as the body is one, using this picture. One body, it's not many bodies, one body with many parts. And with many members, many parts. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Right? When you talk about the body, the hands are still one body. The nose, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the lips, the tongue, every part is still one body. And so it's a very appropriate description. And the Bible says that this one body has a name. It is Christ. That means Christ is the head. Have you ever heard of the ecumenical movement? They are also talking about oneness. And they are also using the term of one body. And their oneness is man-centered and is man-made. And so we have to know what it means when the Bible says this one body is Christ. What does it mean? Where is Christ? Christ is seated at God's right hand, interceding for us. Romans chapter 8. So what exactly does it mean to be called one body and is Christ? So also is Christ. Where are the words of Christ found? The one body, so also is Christ, tells us that if we are in Christ, if we are the body of Christ, then it must be the body where the word of God is obeyed. So where is the word of Christ found? The Bible. The Bible is the word of Christ. That means truth. Truth that is found in Holy Scriptures is the essence, the key. How do we know that this person is a truly born-again believer, part of this body? You look at his life according to the Bible. The ecumenical movement is trying to make and invent their own body. And so therefore, they have to redefine what that body is. And so the ecumenical movement was officially born in 1948. Started by Protestant churches such as the Methodist and the Anglican. They were the largest. Right from the very beginning, they invited the Roman Catholic Church to join them. Their brand of oneness is divided into three objectives. The first objective was to unite all Protestant churches. And they have succeeded thus far today with a sprinkling of a few Protestant churches that have refused to join. And then the second objective is to join the Protestant churches with the Roman Catholic Church. Because of the 16th century Reformation. Martin Luther nailed 95 theses. And from that point onwards, that Reformation spread throughout Europe, crossed the oceans into Britain and America. And through the missionaries, the Protestant movement covered the face of the rest of the Gentile world. And today they want to unite it. And they have also succeeded, because in 1965, the Roman Catholic Church came out with the Vatican II Council, whereby in the past, before 1965, the Protestants were called heretics, because the word Protestant was a nickname given by the Roman Catholics against the Reformers. They are protesting against us, and that's how the term Protestants came about. But after 1965, they are no longer called heretics. They are now called separated brethren. And then people from other faiths, other religions, they are called hidden brethren. And that fulfilled the third objectives of the ecumenical movement, which is started by the World Council of Churches. They want to unite all religions. And so when they started in 1948, this was their agenda. First, unite Protestants. Hand out the olive branch to the Roman Catholic Church, and then the olive branches to all the other religions. And they have succeeded today very, very effectively, as you can see, all over the world. And when you go and check the membership list of the World Council of Churches, you find all religions inside, you find the Roman Catholics inside, you find practically all the parachurch groups inside, and all the Protestant churches inside, except for a few. And then they have the National Council of Churches, which would be the national arms of the World Council of Churches, and there's one in Singapore as well, NCC Singapore. Just go into the website and you can find the membership list of our local churches that belong to the NCC of Singapore. Joseph Prince Church is inside, Kong Hee's Church is also inside. Many of these mega churches are membership. Some of our BP churches, they are not inside, but they are inside through the back door. Because many of our BP churches who are against the perfect Bible, who are for the Bible with mistakes, they support parachurch groups such as Campus Crusade for Christ, Varsity Christian Fellowship, the Navigators. Now these are all full-fledged members of the World Council of Churches. So when you support these parachurch groups by encouraging your members to join these parachurch groups, to give toward these parachurch groups, to serve in these parachurch groups, you are joining the World Council of Churches through the back door. Your church name may not be on it, but the fact that you encourage your members when they are studying in universities and in polytechnics to join these arms of the parachurch groups, you are basically supporting the World Council of Churches, even though your name may not be inside. That's how pervasive they are. Now that is the oneness that will succeed. Because the Bible already prophesied that that oneness engineered by the devil himself, whereby he will promote his Christ, which the Bible called the Antichrist, it will become a reality. Revelation 13 made that very clear. And so we are not trying to stop it from becoming a reality. We know it will become a reality. Our purpose is to warn our people so that you will not become part of that false reality. Because we all have this innate desire to one peace, to one unity, but never at the price that is so high, and that price is to throw away truth. And that is what the Lord wants us to focus on. This body that the Bible speaks of belongs only to the Lord Jesus Christ, where He is head. That means everyone must submit and subject himself to the Word of God. Because just as the head of the person controls every part of us, that's why when the person, his brain dies, the body may be kept alive by the machines that we have, but actually the person is already dead. That's why the doctor says the person is brain dead. His brain cannot control all the parts of his body any longer. The problem with us is we have invented machines that can keep the heart pumping, can keep the lungs breathing, and because of that, the body has the appearance of life, even though the person's brain is dead. The person does not control his limbs, his bodily functions anymore. That's why it's so confusing. Don't be a brain dead body. Christ must be the head. That's why it is known as Christ's body, the body of Christ. He is Christ. He controls. Now, how does that happen? That means when everyone who is born again subject himself to the teaching of God's Word. The Holy Spirit helps us understand God's Word. Now, that is the kind of oneness that we want. That is the kind of oneness that we want to establish. That is the kind of oneness that will help us, not hurt us. That's the kind of oneness that will help us become more Christ-like in our witness. Because the more you submit yourself to the teaching of God's Word, the more Christ-like you become. And if everyone who is truly born again follows the scriptures, the church will be healthy, including the local church. Now, we know that the local church is always made up of a mixture of believers and unbelievers, unless the local church is very small. Let's say when you're going to start a new ministry, you may have a handful of 20, 30 people. And if you know these 20, 30 people very, very well, and they have been with you for the past 20 years of your life as a Christian together, when the church begins at the very, very beginning with these 20, 30 believers, you may say that this church is made up of all believers because you know these 20, 30 odd people for the past 20 years of your life of ministry. And they demonstrated fruits of repentance and the fruit of the Holy Spirit because you've been working with them for the past 20 odd years. That's fine. But as the church increases in numbers, as the church grows, you'll realize that there will always be a mixture of believers and unbelievers. You think our church is any different? No. All local churches will be such. Sure, there are many local churches that are primarily made up of unbelievers. Because these churches are the kind that the Bible warns us, that Christ warns us, have fallen away. A church that does not follow the Bible anymore is a church that is falling away. And once the falling away begins, there will come a point in time where we will no longer be a church with any believers, because a truly born-again believer will get out from that kind of church that continues to fall away, and they will find a local church that will continue to preach the Word of God, and they will join that church. That's why it is so dangerous for you to leave a church that is sound preaching the Word of God. If you leave the church to another sound church that is preaching the Word of God, that's fine. But if you leave a church for a church that is not sound, that is a very serious deed that you have done. Because Jesus promised us, my sheep hears my voice. We are part of the same body where Christ is the head. You will do what the head tells you to do. You will listen very intimately and clearly to what the head is instructing you. And you will do exactly what the head tells you to do. As the head tells you to reach forward, pick up the cup. You reach forward, you pick up the cup. The legs go in that direction. The legs will go in the direction that the head tells the legs to go. So if you are in a church where the Word of God is faithfully taught, and you find the church very uncomfortable, and you can't understand what the Word of God is being preached, whereas everybody else around you understands, but you find it so difficult. Every time the Word of God is taught, you dream. You can't understand, you can't make head or tail of what is happening. Please check your salvation, truly. Because most likely, if that is your experience, you are probably not born again in Christ. Because we are not a Christian because we say we are one. We are Christians if God says we are one. Remember that. If God says you are His child, you are His child. Adoption is from father to child, not children to father. So therefore, you are not a Christian because you say you are one. A person who is a Christian is a person who will do the will of the Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. Not preach the will of the Father which is in heaven. Not memorize, but do. Obey. Obedience will always imply understanding. You can't obey what you don't understand. And so when the Bible says the one who is born again, who will enter into the kingdom of heaven, is the person who will do the will of my Father, that means he will obey and do the will of Christ, the Bible. When Christ is the head, it means every part of the body will obey the Word of God. Do you have an obedient heart to the Word of God? Do you have this childlike faith that every time you read the Bible, you want to obey the Word of God? That's what it means. One body, which is Christ. That body will always obey what the Bible says. That means any envy and jealousy, you put it aside. You just be still and discover what the gift that you have. And once you have that gift, you'll be very happy to exercise that gift, whether it will thrust you into the limelight or not. It does not matter. You just want to do what the head, Christ, tells you to do. The hand cannot say, I want to be the feet. I want to start walking. You can't. You are the hand. You are not the feet. You are not designed for walking. The feet are designed for walking. You do what you are told to do by the head. And the head will tell you what to do because God has already equipped you to do what the head tells you to do. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. It will protect us from being arrogant and proud because it is a gift. If you are thrust into the limelight, there's nothing to be proud of. It's a gift. You did not work for it. You did not pay any money for it. It is a gift. Use it with all humility and to the best of your ability, because the more you use it, the better you will become at it. And since it is Christ, every time when you use your gift to bless others, and others will be blessed when they see it, when they experience it, give Christ the glory, because He is the head. The hand must not rob the glory from the head. Neither should the feet, neither should the ears, neither should the mouth, neither should any part of the body. Christ must be the only one that we seek to exalt. And that way, the oneness in the body will prevail. Will there be enemies who have infiltrated the church to destroy this unity? Yes. Don't let them succeed. The Bible warns us of the detriment and the danger and the heinous nature of sowing seeds of discord. The book of Proverbs warns us of people who use their mouth to sow seeds of discord. Whisper here, whisper there, spreading lies. Very deadly and dangerous. These people have to be nipped in the bud. If anyone were to do that, you have to tell the person. Go and talk to the person personally. Otherwise, stop what you are doing. You are sowing seeds of discord. And it is heinous in the eyes of God. And God will deal with you very, very severely. That person, most likely, if he doesn't care for God's word, that person most likely is not even born again in Christ. Proverbs 6 says this concerning those who sow seeds of discord. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Proverbs 6:16. A proud look, that's bad. A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Which one is the sixth that God called an abomination? Six the Lord hate, number seven, an abomination. A false witness that speaketh lies, that is number six. Proud look, number one. Lying tongue, number two. Hands that shed innocent blood, number three. Heart that devises wicked imaginations, number four. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, number five. A false witness that speaketh lies, number six. But then number seven. He that soweth discord among brethren. When two brothers experience unity, and then you come, you spread lies, and then what you have done is to turn to good friends, two brothers who enjoy friendship, unity, and you turn them into enemies. God said of all these seven transgressions, six of them, the Lord says, I hate them. But the one that God says is an abomination is a person who destroys brotherly love. You know of such people, you have to stop them where they are. Because these people can only succeed when we listen to them. Do not listen to them. Tell them, go directly to that person and don't become their pawn. Because what they want you to do is to help them spread their seeds of discord. Don't become a pawn and a tool of the devil. The old man loved gossip. In Christ, we must not hurt the body. It is so easy to get the whole body to feel pain. All you need is just one tiny little needle and one tiny little prick into the tiniest little finger of your 10 fingers. And the whole body will feel the discomfort. Isn't it true? Why do you want to let that happen? Don't let an enemy come in and sow discord. and destroy the unity that we have in the body, where the hands want to obey Christ. The feet, the mouth, the eyes, every part of the body wants to obey Christ. Because it is Christ's body, and that's all truly born-again believers desire to do. Every time you read the Bible, you must do so with the total heart of an obedient, childlike faith. That whatever the Bible says, I will do. I will not argue, I will not challenge, I will just simply submit and do it happily, cheerfully, because this is the word of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I do that, when I obey His word, I become more and more like Christ, and that's exactly what I want to do, because that's why I'm left behind for on earth to do. The old man has to die, so that the people will no longer see the old man. They will only see the new man, and that is Christ. So that they can become believers, because when they see the old man, they cannot go to heaven by looking at you. When you want to promote your name is not going to open the gates of heaven for anyone to enter into. Only the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior can go to heaven. That's how special you are in Christ. Do you know that? If you are the first and only believer in your family, your parents are not, your siblings are not, you know how important you are to Christ and to your family. Before your salvation, the kingdom of heaven was very far away from that home, because no one knows the gospel. No one is a child of God in your family until you became a believer. And then by your life of holiness, by your testimony of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven is only a prayer away to your whole family members. Do you know that? They were once bound for hell. And the kingdom, the entrance to the kingdom of heaven could not even be seen by them. Don't talk about entering the kingdom of heaven. They can't even see. But the moment you arrive in your family, the first truly born again believer, you share the gospel with them, backed up by a life of Christ, with the gift that God has given to you, with the maturity of faith that you now possess because of your devotion and your study and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will also see Christ. That means they see the Son of God even as they hear the words of Christ. When you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel with them, you have brought not only the picture, the image of the kingdom of God to them by the way you live, you have literally brought them to the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. All they need to do is to enter through Christ Jesus, who's told us He is the door. He is the door. The moment they enter in, the moment they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in heaven. It's all because of you who are present. That's how important you are to live a holy life. And the church is supposed to help you do that. When all of us use our gifts, all of us will mature, all of us will become better believers. All of us must do our part to exercise the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. No one person has all the gifts. All of us are given one or two or three, but not everyone, not a single person is given every gift. Not even the great Apostle Paul. We all need each other. And so when you use your gift, I use my gift faithfully. You want to promote Christ, I want to promote Christ. No quarrel, no argument. When you want to promote yourself, I want to promote myself, then we'll be like the world. Keep on fighting and keep on arguing. But if Christ is the head, we only want to promote one person, and that is Christ. And you want to do what Christ wants, I want to do what Christ wants. You know how wonderful the peace will be? That's why one body, many members, remember only one head, and that is Christ. And to do that, you have to obey Christ, I have to obey Christ. That means we all have to study the Bible. Otherwise, we cannot obey Christ. And when that is the reality, you know how wonderful a Christian life it will be, how wonderful church life is. Sure, there will be enemies, there will be the agents of the devil, where Jesus warns us they are wolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be believers, joining the church, becoming members, and some of them might even creep themselves into leadership. That's why we try to and make sure that all the leaders are according to the Bible qualifications. We have to follow it very rigidly and strictly in order to make sure that they do not creep into the leadership. And even after we have done our due diligence, we know that we are not perfect in our due diligence. As long as we cannot read hearts, they will succeed in crawling themselves into the leadership. First as deacons, and then later on as elders. Another way is through FEBC. Go into FEBC and graduate from there, and then they can become a pawn and a tool. Sometimes they may not even know it. Sometimes they are used by the devil without being aware that they're being used by the devil. You think Peter knew that he was being used by the devil when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Do not go to the cross, do not obey your heavenly Father and leave us. Stay behind, we need you, we love you, we want you to stay behind." Jesus straight away rebuked him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You think that Peter knew what he was doing? That he was being used by the devil? No. All he wanted to do was to satisfy his own personal desires. We got so used to the presence of Christ these past 3.5 years since we gave up everything to follow him. Everything he asked us to do, we obeyed, and not one hair on their head was affected. Because every time they obeyed Christ, Christ was there on earth for the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes to confront. They rebuked Christ. Christ's disciples were never touched when Christ was on earth. You think they did not know that the moment Christ departs and they are left on earth alone and now they still want to obey Christ, what do you think will happen when they obey Christ without Christ physically present? They will face persecution. They are the ones that the enemy is going to imprison and stone and put to death, which was exactly what happened in the book of Acts. That's why they said, "Don't go. Selfish." He did not know that being selfish had caused him to take the side of the devil. You mean Peter, who was a believer, became a pawn and took the side of the devil? Yes. You think Satan cannot use truly born-again believers to do his will? Yes, when they are selfish, when they are self-centered. They can be used by the devil to do the devil's work. Even believers. And that's how the unity will be destroyed. That is why it is so important for us to put Christ first. That's why it is so important for us to always have the mind of Christ and the love of Christ constraining us. And that will be chapter 13, the motive for the use of our gifts, the love of Christ. Otherwise, any one of us can become a pawn of Satan to destroy the unity of the church. Anyone, no exception. You think because we are pastors and elders, Satan say, "Oh, hands off, cannot touch them." He will touch us even more because he knows that when the leaders fall, the impact and the loudness of the fall will reverberate throughout the whole church. In contrast to a member who falls, the sound will be much softer. The impact will be much lighter. He knows. That's why it is so important for us to know that there is one body and the name of the body is Christ. He is the head. We are all not the head. Promote only him. And finally, only one nature. This body has only one nature, not multiple natures. And what is that nature? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free. How did you become a Christian? The Lord Jesus Christ, when a person truly accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ will baptize every believer with the Holy Spirit. Not a different spirit. So when you are born again, Jesus Christ baptized you with the Holy Spirit. He baptized me with the Holy Spirit. He baptized the other person with the Holy Spirit. All of us are baptized with the same Holy Spirit, not a multiple or different Holy Spirit. All of us have the same. One Spirit. Same Spirit indwelling every believer. That means we all will understand the Bible correctly, to the best of our ability, as far as all the major doctrines are concerned. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you're brought up in the Old Testament way of life, or whether you're brought up with an idolatrous way of life, because that's what Gentiles were brought up. We all have the same Spirit. It doesn't matter whether you're a master or a slave. What you do, your status in the world does not matter. Your race and nationality also does not matter. When a person is truly born again in Christ, the same Holy Spirit will indwell him. We all have the same nature, the nature that God gives to us in Christ with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The same Spirit dwells in us. And so therefore, we have this closeness and affinity with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we may speak different languages, even though we may have met each other for the first time. But there is automatically this affinity that we have that is spiritual in nature. For the body is not one member, but many. This body of ours, many different types of believers with many different kinds of spiritual gifts. But the oneness is one name, one nature. Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is the common denominator in every one of us who are truly born again in Christ. The question we need to ask ourselves is this: are you truly in Christ? Do you truly have the one Spirit dwelling in you? Because if you have, there will be the signs. There will be the evidence. The evidence and the signs are all spiritual. It has nothing to do with the color of our skin. It has nothing to do with our educational level. It has absolutely nothing to do with our race or nationality or where we come from. Jews or Gentiles, born or free. It does not matter. The moment you are born again in Christ, we are all of the same body, possessing the same Holy Spirit. And that means, whatever the Word of God says, you will understand. And not only will you understand, you will say amen. You want to obey the Word of God. You want to do anything to protect the unity that you have in your home. And if all your family members are believers, you want to maintain the unity in the home. Make sure the head of the family is biblical. Make sure that the wife, who is the helper suitable for the head, is also knowledgeable in God. So when the father and the mother, both of them have the mind of Christ and both of them know the Word of God well, straight away they will be united. They will both want to obey the Word of God. Immediately the quarrels they used to have will now be reduced drastically. And then little by little the children teach them the Word of God, so that when you tell them what to do according to the Bible, they will want to obey the Word of God. And so there is no such thing as generation gap. The generation gap is a man-made, worldly concept that does not apply to Christian families. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God bridges every gap. Every gap. Because when the children are biblical, they know the Word of God. You are biblical, you also obey the Word of God. And whatever you say is according to the Bible. Why would our children disobey? Unless they are not born again. Unless they do not know the Word of God. That's why it's so important. If you want peace in your home, be biblical, have the mind of Christ. Get your wife to also have the mind of Christ. And then the children will also have the mind of Christ. Immediately, the unity and the oneness in your home will be experienced. You want your children to have the mind of Christ? Get them involved in fellowships where the Word of God is taught. You do not push them in the direction of the church fellowship, and you continue to allow them to have friends in the world out there. What do you think will happen? You look at the world out there, it's in chaos. Everybody fighting and killing one another. And that's exactly what they're going to pick up. And when they come home with that kind of mind, very self-centered and selfish. You have three children, you have three self-centered children. What do you think will happen to your home? Chaos. You want peace in your home? Only Jesus Christ can give you that peace. You make sure of your children's salvation, because if they are not born again, they will never have the mind of Christ. And the problem will permeate, and it will continue to remain. Multiply that 100 times. In the church is the same. When people attend the Word of God, when the people study the Word of God, attend ministries and fellowship, they study the Word of God together. Why do you think we have church Bible studies? Those who study the Word of God, they will have the mind of Christ. And the more developed their mind of Christ is, the more they can follow the Bible and obey Christ, the head of the church, with the Spirit of God in them, helping them. They will understand, they will love the Word of God, and they will be united. And they will stop all those who try to sow seeds of discord to destroy the unity that we all have in Christ. Those who do not know the Word of God, they are the ones who will love gossips. They are the ones who will fan all these abominations. And they are the ones that Satan will love to use. And they are found in churches, sadly. Don't become a pawn of the devil. Know the Word of God, because you are the child of God. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your head, who is your master and your redeemer. And with the Spirit of God dwelling in you, we are all one body. With many members, only one body. Not many bodies. Don't fight. Help. When one part of the body gets hurt, is it not true that the whole body feels the pain? And that's what the unity is supposed to be. We are all here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all here to fight against the evil one in the world. Do not become a pawn and a tool of the devil. And if you are here as a wolf in sheep's clothing, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ can also save you out of your sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And you will truly be born again in Christ, because the body is only for believers. If you are not born again in Christ, you are not part of this body. And you will continue to be an outsider and to continue to disturb the body of Christ. And if you are part of the body, don't let these people succeed. Guard and protect the unity that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Don't create and manufacture your own. Guard it. And you and I will enjoy the peace that God promised us, that passes all understanding, that we all need in a world that is in chaos. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord. We thank Thee that in Christ Jesus, we all are made part of the body of Christ. It is not by the will of man, nor by the work of man. It is by the power of the Spirit of the Most High God. And we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ baptized us with the Holy Spirit. And from that point onwards, the Holy Spirit continues to indwell us, to illumine us, to help us, to lead us, to guide us, that we do not need to live a life of holiness on our own. But with His enabling, all the children of God will slowly but surely becoming more and more like Christ through our love for Christian fellowship, our love for worship, and above all else, our love for Thy holy word, the truth of God that is able to sanctify us in our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, so that we can become more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our thinking, in our motives, which in turn will determine our desires and our love and our action and our words, so that by our good works, no longer will they see the old man, but they will see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and glorify our Father who art in heaven, which is the desire of everyone who is part of the body of Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.